It's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
And Adam Hill.
I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Rolling into the 4 o'clock hour, 364-1100, 364-1100. All right, question of the day, and there's many coming out of Super Bowl 53. Yes, the Patriots won again. By the way, in 15 minutes, we'll get you updated on the handle for Super Bowl betting. But our question is, I think Brady was so-so, I'll say. You think he was terrible. He finished 21 of 35, no touchdowns, a pick, 262 yards. He completed some brilliant passes down the stretch when it counted the most. The pass and the catch on both ends, him to Gronk down on the two-yard line, was brilliant. That was a great pass. But here's the question, and we've been asking this forever. Does Belichick win without Brady? Does Brady win without Belichick? And you said often Brady might have never won a Super Bowl in his career.
Yeah, without Belichick? And Belichick,
I think he would have. I think he's a transformational quarterback. But if you ask me for a full 20 years, which is amazing, you know, that these guys have been together essentially 20 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to do without one or the other, yeah, I would do without Brady. And I think he's the greatest winner in NFL history. But Belichick is beyond comparison. He is. He's freaking brilliant. So, for the listeners, what does this game yesterday do? Does it answer the question that Belichick's the guy, Brady's been along for the ride? It's a little harsh, but 364-1100, 364-1100. Tom is up with Cofield and Company. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, guys. First of all, I was wrong. I talked to you a couple weeks before the Chargers game with New England and said that, you know, New England would win the Super Bowl, and I thought Brady and Gronk would retire after the game, so I was wrong about that. But getting back to the arm strength point, is I think you guys are missing the point with the arm strength. I mean,
hey,
Brady
Tom,
never had
Tom,
great
Tom,
arm
Tom,
strength.
Tom,
yeah.
Answer this question. I'm not continuing a conversation from 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, because Adam's just so dead wrong. You guys never want to debate anybody.
That's all I want to do ever. What was
bringing
wrong?
On it with his arm strength. Adam, you didn't think he'd win the Super Bowl, and now you guys are giving all the credit to Belichick. I mean, he had a fair game against great DBs and a great defense, and Armstrong's got nothing to do with it.
It's incredibly impressive what he's able to do without being able to throw the ball. I've said that for weeks. He can't throw the ball.
Nolan Ryan, he was in his 40s throwing gas.
Okay.
How many quarterbacks retire because of a lack of arm strength?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Name a quarterback that has retired because of losing arm strength.
What, all of them?
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Is that the number one factor you're saying
no.
for quarterbacks?
No,
that wasn't your first question. That wasn't the point of your question.
What are you saying?
No, my question is,
it's incredibly impressive what he does with diminished arm strength. Absolutely. We've been saying this forever.
What diminished arm strength? What are you talking about?
You're saying he has the same arm he's always had.
Not diminished like you're saying. His arm's fine.
No, it's not.
Goff's the one that underthrew a bomb.
Yeah, golf stinks.
How far do you think Tom Brady can throw a ball if he had
who cares?
I have no idea.
Who cares?
He can't throw 20 yard out.
Yeah, that's not the point.
Like diminished arm strength, how far do you think he can throw?
But that's not Tom, how far off are you on this one? Who cares if we're having a throwing contest and a guy can still throw, you know, a lob past 65 yards? It's the outs. It's zipping it down the field. It's zipping it into tight spaces.
Exactly. He can't do those.
He actually, there was a lot of moments yesterday he couldn't get it done.
It takes arm strength to throw deep, right?
No. And to throw out patterns. Yes, he can't do it.
I know perfectly well, Adam, how to throw an out. Okay?
Yeah, he can't do it.
He can't do it.
No, watch the games. They're completely adjusting how he plays.
He can't throw an out because of his age. Is that what you're saying?
His diminished arm strength. Yes, and they've adjusted to what he can do, and it's unbelievably impressive what they've done.
You have no clue, Adam. You have none whatsoever.
You're rambling about nothing. I don't even know what you're saying.
And that's all you do is ramble.
Okay.
All right, Tom, you got your second chance. Thanks, brother. 364-1100, 364-1100. We'll debate, but I'm not debating I mean, it's part of this topic. I'm not debating a call that we had 3 weeks ago because you didn't get to finish your call. So the question is, based on yesterday's performance, which I thought was so-so, you thought was terrible, Brady?
Definitely well below average.
Does this finally answer the question for a lot of people that the guy that makes that whole thing go is Belichick? You know, the question we've had forever. Would Belichick be this big a winner without Brady? Would Brady be this big a winner without Belichick? 364-1100, 364-1100. Robert is in here on ESPN Las Vegas. Robert.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Man, Tom has me going over here. Hey, Tom is hilarious. First and foremost, man. Hey, I believe we're going to turn into one of the top sports cities in the U.S. You know, with the gambling aspect that takes place here in town, and everyone paying attention, guys like Tom and myself calling in, you guys hosting the show, I think we're going to get some recognition because we got more insight on these games than a lot of folks across the U.S. I just want to put that out there.
Fair enough.
Now,
go ahead.
Getting to the game, I'm going to say this. They both are lucky to have one another. However, I don't think Belichick has his career without finding a gem like Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think if you had to pick one or the other, if you're the Patriots, if you could do it without one or the other, I think you could have done it without Brady. You couldn't have done it without Belichick.
Yeah, I'm not saying Belichick's making 9 Super Bowls. I'm pretty confident he makes at least half that number with an unknown at quarterback. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad quarterback, but the unknown factor of who the quarterback would have been.
Yeah, I mean, if you pair him up with like an Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
I think he probably does better. But I mean, yes, I think he could have had a lot of success. He could have had at least somewhat of a dynasty there without Brady. But together, they made an unbelievable combination.
And that game plan yesterday was incredible. His defensive game plan was sick. He completely confused Jared Goff. He nullified, in some ways, what McVay did. I know you want to follow up on this, that McVay actually had a decent game, but Goff just executed it so poorly. But yeah, Belichick's, he's freaking brilliant. He's as sharp as ever. He's 66 going on, you know, how old is the boy wonder? 33, 34?
33.
I mean, I think he puts in the same time or more than he ever did. He's sharper than ever. I bet you, I mean, no one gets to interview him unless it's, you know, a pal like Phil Simms yesterday in the pregame. But I would have to think he would admit that, you know, 2001 Belichick isn't as good as 2019 Belichick. That he's gotten better.
Oh, I think he's definitely gotten better.
He would probably destroy himself.
Yeah, he would be able to game plan and scout it out, no question.
God, he's good. It's frustrating.
It is.
Frustrating. And yet all of you wrote him off. The underdogs.
Everyone.
As Tony Romo said, everyone wrote him off. Yeah, okay. 364-1100. AB is with us.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Dude, what's up, man?
I'm originally from Michigan, big Wolverine fan.
Nice.
I remember when Brady was at Michigan, and I think he got a raw deal when he was back there, but he couldn't even crack the starting lineup when he was at Michigan. I admire what he's done in the NFL, but there's no way he'd have 6 Super Bowl rings if he wasn't gifted the genius of Bill Belichick. Also, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I hate New England. I hate New England with a passion. The only two teams that I hate more than New England is the Jets and the Bills. No, I take that back. The only team that I hate worse than New England is the Jets.
Stop.
You have to give Bill Belichick his due. And I'm not just talking about since he's been the coach in New England. You take going all the way back at when he was a coordinator. The man is a freaking genius.
Yep.
And, I mean, I don't wish anything bad on him. I wish that maybe, I don't know, he hit the lottery for like $30 billion and decide that he can do something else with his life. Because until he leaves New England, I really don't see anybody else winning that division because he's just smarter than I mean, what he did against Andy Reid and the Chiefs, what he does against Pittsburgh continually, the success he had against Peyton Manning. I mean, that wasn't all Brady. That was Bill Belichick. And, I mean, you got to give Brady his due, but that garbage of a game that he played yesterday, they won in spite of him yesterday, not because of him. They won because of Bill Belichick. And Julian Edelman, this, I don't know, how tall is he, like 5'10", 5'11", and he's running free all over the football field? That wasn't because of Brady. That was because of Bill Belichick.
Thanks. Good call. I mean, on the heels of that, that's another brilliant point. I think if you had Belichick as the OC, we know as a DC he'd be ridiculous. As the OC, he'd be the best offensive coordinator in football, too.
Most likely.
Yeah. I think he'd be the best position coach at any position he coached. And, you know, people often forget what the Giants accomplished. Phil Simms is a moron.
True. Factual statement.
The guy got like a 12 on his Wonderlic. The Giants' defense, Parcells deserves a lot of credit too, but the way they built the Giants' winning teams of the 80s into the 90s with run and defense to win in spite of Phil Simms, to win in spite of Jeff Hostetler, is something that should always be mentioned on Belichick's resume.
Yeah, it was – they did an incredible job, no question. And he was really good at that, and then he's been a really good head coach. He's unbelievable what he's able to do. And yesterday again, as you said, winning despite the fact that Tom Brady was out there.
Keith is up on Cofield and Company. What do you think, Keith?
Well, I don't like playing the what-if game. I mean, because you could say, well, what if – I think that the way I saw that game yesterday was that I think – when I watched the game, I'm like, yeah, I could see why Belichick wanted to go with Garoppolo, because I think they could have been in that same position yesterday with Garoppolo. But that being said, I think what I get out of that game is if I'm a New England fan, which I'm definitely not, I like, as long as Belichick's not going anywhere, I mean, you got a nice – you're going fine. He's going to figure out another guy. You're okay. It's way more Belichick than it is Brady. He's a great quarterback. Those two throws in the court to Gronk down the line and the one that he caught at the goal line were perfect passes. I agree with Adam. He can't throw all the balls anymore. And that's kind of why I think Belichick was ready to make that move. But you can't go back and say who would have won what with without whatever, because they're a team. But going forward, New England should be just fine. He's going to find somebody else. This guy, as long as he doesn't go anywhere, it's not bad being a New England fan, guys.
It's not bad. It's crazy, right? Thanks, Keith. I mean, we mentioned on the Sunday morning show, we had some big goof kid, 21-year-old from Tucson. I mean, you're born in 1998. You become a Patriots fan, whatever, early 2000s. This is the most incredible run in sports history, I think, at least in the last 60 years outside of the Celtics. The Celtics were virtually unbeatable from the early 60s to the early 70s.
Same city.
Yep. Title town. I saw people, I didn't even realize they had this shirt out, you know, kind of just ripping it from the Packers. It is.
So obnoxious.
But in this case, it's, listen, Brady's awesome. He's the greatest winning quarterback in history. I'm not sure if he's the greatest quarterback. I think he's awesome. But Belichick continuing to win on the back end of Brady's career is freaking, it's beyond Mount Rushmore of coaches.
And I do want to point out, I think Brady winning in this capacity is incredibly impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for him to figure out, okay, I have to change my game, play this way. I'll pick and choose when I can, you know, I need to make a big play here and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I might not be able to go out there and throw for, you know, 500 yards in a game.
Although he did it last year.
Right, last year.
505 against the Eagles. Yeah.
Right, but I, you know, to be able to adjust his game and still be effective in a diminished capacity is incredible.
It's funny how emotional, I mean, this is the way Patriots fans are, but it's funny how emotional people can get over, you know, pointing out obvious things about Tom Brady. We would point out the same thing about Drew Brees. Drew Brees can't throw like he used to.
Yeah.
He's more of a touch passer now. Clearly, their offense is built around the running game, not Brees. Why? Because that's what you do when a quarterback gets older. He's still awesome.
Yeah.
He's still awesome, but I'm sure he would tell you, man, I don't have the zip on those outs anymore or trying to squeeze it into tight windows like I used to. Nate is up on Cofield and Company. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's up, Cofield? What's up, Adam? It's Silverado Nate.
What's up, man?
Not much. Hey, I'm going to piggyback onto, I think, the last couple of callers. I would say it's Belichick, and although Brady you know, I think what gets him through is his poise, his experience, his, you know, pre-snap intelligence and all that. From as many years as he's been in the league and how many times he's been doing it, he doesn't get it rattled. But Belichick, I mean, he's the genius. Every team is different. He coaches situationally. The Patriots are always prepared situationally for everything that comes up in the game. And Brady's only one side of the team. He's only the offense, and he can only execute with the players around him. And while his maybe physical skills might be starting to diminish, he works hard to maintain them, but his intelligence just keeps getting better with every game he plays, every playoff experience. But without Belichick coaching the whole team and having the staff underneath him coaching situationally, you don't have what you have, you know, over the years. And Belichick just keeps getting better. He sees young coaches coming in, and he's like, okay, these guys don't know what I know still. And I would say it's Belichick, but Brady, his attitude, his coachability, and the way he's about the team and just their whole culture. Belichick has created this culture to where it's hard to beat them. They don't give up mistakes, and it's the culture that he's created.
That's a really good point. Good call. Good call. You do have to factor that in to how well they work together.
Oh, yeah.
Would Aaron Rodgers work with Belichick, borderline torturing him all the time? That is part of this, Adam.
No, I agree. And I think Belichick is – I think Belichick is smart enough, and he's a genius enough. I think if he had a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he would just be like, I'm not a part of the offense. Go do what you guys are going to do. I got the defense.
So you think he would take his foot off the gas pedal in terms of the intensity?
I think so.
But then how does that affect the rest of the team? Because Brady, part of Brady's legacy is that he is a lunatic. He is. He's a lunatic who gets driven by the fact that somehow he came up with this, everybody thinks we suck. We're still here. And that also leads to making 9 Super Bowls.
Everyone thinks we suck.
Like,
of course.
If I don't know what Rodgers' drive would be.
Totally, it's,
you know, if you come out and you win 3 or 4 early in your career, would his drive be the same? That's something you really can't quantify.
Absolutely.
What a freaking whack job, super competitive Brady is. And that's why the comparisons, even though, you know, Jordan was untouchable when he made the finals, that's why the comparisons between Jordan and Brady are apt. They are.
Yeah.
Jordan never lost it. The competitive fire.
That's totally fair. And I don't.
You, and not everyone has that.
Yeah, you never will know. And who knows if Belichick is the one that sparked that in Brady. Where I've always said, if Brady gets drafted by, like, the Jaguars, he might have been out of the league in 4 or 5 years, and we never would have known how great he could be.
I don't think that's the case.
I've always thought that's possible.
I think Brady would have turned around almost single-handedly. Quarterbacks have the power to turn around franchises. I think whatever franchise he was with would have done really well. Now, keep in mind, he'd be competing against Belichick.
Fair.
That would be the standard of excellence that Brady would have to eclipse. I don't think he's getting a 9 Super Bowls. But, you know, as the caller said, you know, he said we don't like to play, or he doesn't like to play the what-if game. It's Sports Talk Radio. We do what-ifs.
Right. You have to. Because you know? We could have just come on and said, all right, well, you saw the Super Bowl yesterday. It was 13-3. Talk to you later. I don't know how entertaining that would be.
In any way, are we being unfair to Brady?
Everyone thinks we suck.
No, again, I think him winning in this capacity is more impressive than anything else. I don't know how that's people keep taking that as an insult. It's not.
Yeah.
He has nothing left. He's still finding a way to win.
Well, now you're going crazy. He has lots left. He just can't make all the throws he used to make. Fair. So now he's great at different throws. And this is really no different than guys like Manning, guys like John Elway, needing to win in different ways late in their career.
Right. And that's
it's not an it's not an insult. And maybe in some ways when you get older, you're many quarterbacks are just, you know, much smarter. They don't make the mistakes they made in the past. Brett Favre never got that. You know, Brett Favre always had the freaking howitzer and would still try at 41 to be freaking whipping it in there, and obviously made a big mistake.
Cost him the trip to the Super Bowl.
In the NFC Championship game after a brilliant season with the Vikings. But, yeah, TB12 is not untouchable. He was solid yesterday, not spectacular, but he was spectacular in the biggest spots in the game.
Was it, I mean, If you go back and look at it, too, and Goff sucked, there's no question. But Goff and Brady made almost the exact same throw. Now, Goff's receiver got it knocked away from him. Brady's receiver.
We're talking about which play?
The one down the side, right before the interception.
Okay.
The one down the sideline. He made a good throw.
That was a good throw.
To Cooks. And now Cooks had a defender come over and knocked the ball away. Gronk pulled the ball away from the defender and didn't get it knocked away. So, really, I mean, that's the difference. They made the exact same play.
Yeah.
Brady's guy made the catch. Goff's didn't. Now, I don't blame Brandon Cooks. Like, there was two defenders there. One of them knocked it away. Gronk was strong enough to pull it in and not let it get pulled away. So, that becomes the difference in the game. But I don't think you could put that part of it and just say, oh, Brady made the perfect throw in the perfect time. He had help from the receiver.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So they're going to try the 48-yard field goal with McQuay to snap it back to Hecker, who has the placement. The kick by Zuerlein sailing to the uprights, and the kick good. No good with 5 seconds to go. Greg Zuerlein, who hit a 57-yarder to get the Rams to this game.
Get off the field.
2 weeks ago in New Orleans, hooks it left, and the Patriots take over with one snap remaining.
Well, I know that worked out. The Zuerlein miss worked out for both of us.
A little bit, yeah.
On the props front?
Yeah, at that point, they weren't going to come back. And by the way, the correct decision. I saw people annoyed with that last night. It's the obvious decision. That's the only chance you have is to try to kick right there and get the ball back and throw a Hail Mary. But yeah, I had a prop that Zuerlein would miss a field goal at some point in the game, mostly because I figured they would try like a 60-yarder at the end of a half or something, because they've been doing that with him this year, and that he might miss one. So it was a really good price, over plus $3 on missing a field goal, and that one very lucky to come in.
Was not a great night for the field goal kickers in general.
No, but they each did make one, which I know was a big prop as well, with both teams make a 33.5-yarder or longer. 33-yarder, I guess it was, but yeah.
How many people out there played squares? What if you had a 3-3 square?
It's a good one.
You were a double winner.
Yeah.
You won in the third and the end of the game. Because Zuerlein missed, you won.
Very well schooled on this.
I'm not a big football squares player, but I was with a crew of ladies, and they didn't want to bet the game, but they were like, yeah, let's do a square. Or multiple squares.
Okay.
So, yeah. As a group, we got the 3-3 square.
That's a good one to have.
That was about the only saving grace.
Yeah. It was not a great day.
As I told these guys, I'm wearing what I wore yesterday. I just have to feel it. They're still here. We never thought you went away. I want to open the phones on this. 364-1100, 364-1100. Because I want to get into what the worst bets made were by us. What was the worst bet you made for a prop bet where you just were not even close? If you bet the over for the game, it's the, I guess by the points you missed, it's the worst bet in Super Bowl history.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was
39. Total. You missed by 39.5 points.
Almost got there.
So in the game, third quarter, I start looking. I'm like, all right, it's going to pick up, because I didn't bet the total beforehand. It's going to pick up. And I did, typical in-game public D-bag bet. And it includes me. I'm not calling you guys D-bags, but I'm like, yeah, it's going to pick up. I got over 40.5. I got over 23.5 in game. I had a shot. Had they scored a touchdown, had Goff not underthrown the pass, I got intercepted. But I wasn't even close. Those were my worst bets. I'm trying to think if there was a prop. I'll look through my props. I didn't play many. Well, my worst non-bet was, after listening to Brad Powers come on the air on Thursday, revisiting the conversation on Sunday morning, Edelman over yards. And I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Yards
on Sunday.
Catches,
I mean, come
MVP.
On, bro. It's a highly recommended over, and then you stay out, and the guy goes 10 for 141. Moron. So what was the worst bet you made?
I mean, I think I actually had the over six because I got a really good number on six receivers to catch a pass for the Rams. I don't know what three did or four. It was ridiculous. That had no chance. And I said yesterday, I bet every Josh Reynolds prop over. Every single one.
And?
None of them came in. And including getting a great number because I had Reynolds against the first quarter scoring in the Knicks-Grizzlies game, which died completely. So I had an even better number than anybody else did and still didn't get there. But that's one of those that you look back and say, it's the right bet.
It's the right side loss.
If it, watching the game, I would make the bet again. And I would bet a lot more on it. Because they did exactly what I thought they'd do. They doubled Woods, and they put Gilmore on Cooks, and they said, go ahead and throw to Reynolds all day if you want. And they could have. He had seven targets, and they were skipping him the ball, and he was open on just about every play. And they Goff just couldn't give him the ball. So if after watching the game yesterday, if they put the props up again, I would bet every Reynolds prop over again. I absolutely would. He was wide open. They should have got it to him. Goff just didn't throw it to him. So, you know, it's one of those you chalk it up and say, yeah, I lost, and I'd make the bet again.
I would say the worst was my alternate game total bet, which I missed by only 49.5 points.
Close.
It was like plus 280 on over 65.5.
You almost got that. I also did bet. I bet second half over, not because I thought it would go over. It's just a system play. It's in a 0-0 or a 3-0 game at halftime. It's an automatic bet on the over, no matter what it is. I don't have the numbers here, but it's an incredible percentage of games in that situation that go over. And everybody I apparently did, because I think I went 27-28.5 for the second half. But that was just an automatic, just bet whatever it is, bet it over, and that had zero chance of coming in.
So what was the worst bet you made? You just got destroyed on the bet.
I guess it'll probably be second half.
Okay.
Yeah.
364-1100, 364-1100 on the gambling front. By the way, we'll have the handle here in just a second. We talked about the news on the handle being out around Nevada. Travis is with us. Hey, Travis.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, so I had one. It was Brady's first pass going to be a complete or incomplete, and it was intercepted. And I also had the complete on that, and then I had, will he throw an interception? And it killed me on both with one throw.
The first
play, you're
first
out.
First throw of the game.
Yep. Well, first throw of the game, you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that sucked.
All right, Travis. I had complete. I told you that before the show. I had complete. Yeah. It was like plus 180.
Well, it was complete.
Right.
Wrong.
Well, I got really scared because the ball got knocked in the air, and from the angle, I'm like, come on, Hogan's going to get that? I'm going to lose this? And then it gets intercepted.
Wait, you had complete, I thought.
I had incomplete. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, incomplete. Incomplete, incomplete.
Well, technically, it was completed.
By the betting, it's not.
Okay.
I mean, technically, it's not. I mean, it's an interception.
To somebody.
Yeah. Wrong team. Danny is up on Cofield and Company. Danny.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man? Worst bet you made.
So I'll just set the scene for the last field goal by Zuerlein.
Oh, no.
Not only did I have one box in my $50 box pool of 6-3 Rams, but I had a big teaser with Rams plus 8.5 and under 63. So that field goal pretty much cost me everything I had left after losing all my dumb props at the beginning.
Oh, man. That's a nightmare.
That was a killer.
Felt good. Yeah. Felt good.
It's what makes the game fun. Like, even when there's no question about the outcome, there's still props and other things to be determined. It does still make it fun.
Tony is up next on worst bet that he made, where he just got crushed during the Super Bowl. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, brother?
Good. Fire away.
I had James White over 6.5 receptions, and I had him having more receiving yards than Gronk.
Oh, boy.
I don't even know if he played. Was he in the game? He was non-existent.
Dude, every time they threw the ball to him, there was a penalty, and they came back.
It's unbelievable. Yep.
James White, thanks for the call. One catch, 5 yards. Gronk, 6 for 87. So
insane. It's completely – but remember we said that yesterday on our pre-show at the Westgate, you were asking me about some of the props, and I was like, I'm just not betting Patriots props at all. I mean, Edelman, yes. But other guys, they are so good at just not letting you understand what they're going to do or what they want to do. And it's been all James White. You mentioned the Chargers game was ridiculous, but it's been all James White. So they're not going to do that. And they're going to take away what you think they're going to do. And now they're going to go Burkhead. And now Burkhead's out on the field.
It's actually a great way to approach the Patriots.
Of course.
Whatever they've done recently, they're not going to do.
Again, yeah, but then sometimes they do. Yeah. So you just don't bet the Patriots in the props. It's impossible to tell.
I had a weird one. I had a prop on, would the winner of the game have less total yards? I was in the running.
Yeah.
But didn't work out. Patriots 407 to 260. Total yardage.
If I honestly do feel if that holding call is not called, the outcome's different.
What holding call? Explain it again.
So it's 3-3. The Rams have finally scored. They're tied up. They get another stop. They have the ball. They get two first downs, and then they have a first and 10 play from about their own 40. Gurley goes for 13 yards into Patriots territory. It's going to be first and 10 for the Rams in Patriots territory with momentum, and things swung in their way, and they call a hold. And now, again, as Mike Pereira explained, it might look different on the All-22, and I haven't watched yet. From the side angle, it doesn't look like a hold. From the angle they showed on the replay, it didn't look like a hold. Romo himself on the broadcast, and that's what Pereira brought up. Well, when Tony Romo says it's not a penalty, everybody just jumps to that conclusion that he's right. And I feel like I get that by the book it might be. Now, he had his hands on the outside of the shoulder pads. You see that every single play. Yeah,
there was two-way latching onto each other.
Yeah, and then,
you know, like both are jockeying for position. They both have the hands up, and they're both sort of twisting each other.
But the issue that I had with how Mike Pereira explained it was he said when he goes to the ground, they're going to call that. Well, that shouldn't be how it is. It shouldn't be determined by if the guy falls down.
I also hated it so much because Gurley was essentially through the hole and gone.
Yeah, he was gone.
Yeah.
And so it didn't really have an impact on the play, and they make the call. Now, it ends up being first and 20. The Rams don't get another first down. They punt, and then the Patriots go and score their touchdown. But the Rams had, for the first time in the entire game, they had all the momentum. They had scored, they had got a stop, and then they got two first downs.
They're at the 44-yard line after the Gurley 13-yard run. It goes back.
Yeah. And it comes back. And, yep. And that completely changed the complexion of how the game was playing out. So, yeah, you never know how things are going to go from there. Maybe he throws an interception, it's picked off, and run back the next play. But everything was finally in their favor for the first time in the game, and that changed everything.
Next three plays, yeah. Goff again, can't read the defense, gets sacked. Incomplete pass, deep to Cooks. Was that the punt throw that just sat there in the air forever and he was wide open?
No. That was earlier.
Okay.
That was on the drive they actually scored the field goal on.
Okay.
And they had to settle for three instead of that, what should have been a sure seven.
And then third and 22, Gurley, -1. Punt, all momentum, potential momentum, stymied. Hits the wall.
And then the Patriots went and scored their touchdown.
Worst bet you made, you got destroyed on. Tim is up on Cofield & Company. Hey, Tim.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I got three. I'll be real quick. First was Chris Hogan, over under 3.5 receptions. Targeted 6 times, 0 catches. Wonderful. Second, Sony Michelle, 1 catch. He was targeted twice. First ball hit him right in the hands, dropped it.
Yeah,
the third bet did come in for me, which was I going to call in today and not go to work and throw up on myself? That did come in. I'm one for three. Thanks, guys. Okay.
That's great.
Now,
I wish I could bet the prop. Will you be wearing the same clothes you were wearing during the Super Bowl? Yes, for Cofield.
I will say, I don't know where he got that over. Did he say over one? It was over. I actually had a half where I saw, and I had the under. But they don't throw him the ball. They don't throw him the ball for a reason.
Right.
He can't catch it. And you saw that. He dropped a very easy one. But I would say, again, the importance, especially with the props next year, if you're listening out there, get the best number. It was out there at a half. You could have won with that.
Over under targets. Imagine if you had that one. Over under 1.5 because Brady threw one at his ass.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Was that? No. I have it wrong. Actually, it was. Was there a C.J. Anderson play where Goff was just enveloped with pressure and he just threw it into his keister?
He hit him in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was like, I get the ball out of here. All right. So what's the handle on the game? Now keep in mind, we talked about this after the AFC Championship game, the possibility that people have Patriots fatigue, and We saw some big bets being placed around town. Let It Ride Better, the guy from the World Series a couple years ago, who also won like 10 mil on the Eagles. ESPN dopily named him Better X, which is a stupid name.
Yeah.
He came to town. He got down at least $3.8 million at three different books. Rams money line.
Yeah, not good.
So he was fired up. But were bettors in general fired up to play this game?
Well, I mean, I guess yes and no. The handle, which could, you know, a lot of people speculated could set a record for this year, did not set a record. Last year was $158.586 million. So nearly $159 million last year. This year, $145.939 million. So down pretty significantly from last year. Now, that's not good. You don't want to go down. But at the same time, the years before that, 115, 132, 138, and then it went to 158, and now it's 146. So, yes, it's down from last year, but it's also the second highest total of all time. It's a pretty big number. It just didn't go up from last season.
What's the reason?
And, well, I mean, I think there's a couple reasons. I think Patriots fatigue is certainly a big one. I think the fact that it was close might have impacted a little bit, the fact that the spread was very small. But I do think Patriots fatigue being a big one. But you do have to also understand, when we say the handle is down, that last year, with a handle of $158.586 million, Nevada books made $1.17 million on the game. This year, $146 million, they made $11 million. So while the handle was down significantly, the profit, the hold for the sports books here in Nevada was significantly up this season. And that was expected, the way that we saw the game play out and so much of the public betting all the props over and things to happen in the game, and then not a whole lot happened in the game. So that does make some sense from that perspective. I saw Ed Salmons from over at the Westgate did point to the fatigue being a major reason.
Really?
Yeah, he said.
Because Cornegay told us yesterday it was trending the wrong way, that at least at Superbook USA, the overall handle was appearing to go lower than a year ago, so that played out. But what did he say?
Ed said, people are tired of the Patriots. I really think Patriots fatigue thing played a role in the handle. So I mean, pretty clear about it. Not very, not very ambiguous. He's saying people are sick of him, and I think that's true. Like, you see him every year. You don't, you know, there's nothing new and exciting about them, and people are sick of them. But at the same time, you have to appreciate the fact that they continue to find ways to make it happen.
Lowest ratings in 10 years?
Yeah.
And smallest audience? 100.7 million viewers. That said, it's also dropped every year since 2015. So I'm not sure what the deal on that is. I'm not going to chalk it up to, well, the Pats have been involved in a lot of these.
Yeah.
And so is it Patriots fatigue, or is it different viewing habits and different modes of consumption with younger people?
And
or is it you G-damn millennials are just pansies and don't like sports?
I don't think it's that. I also think people are changing how they watch the games. That's another thing that I think has always been a factor. You know, if people have bigger parties and more people are watching in one location, it's dropping how many different TVs are tuned into it. It just is. I don't take a whole lot of. I think pretty much everyone out there is watching the game in some way or another.
Continue the Cofield and Company conversation on Facebook. Friend us at ESPN Las Vegas.
Musical genius who needs no introduction. Oh.
It's lit. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah. Good feedback so far on the phones.
Yeah.
Try to open them again in the 5 o'clock hour. These Super Bowl Monday shows are always bizarro. There's too much to get to. There's so much. Thank God that there actually wasn't, this is going to sound weird, there wasn't a ton of exciting action in the game. We can get to some other stuff. I mean, the downside is that the audience was smaller and all of us got destroyed by the sportsbooks. And we mentioned total handle down by about $12 million from 158 to 146. The win for the books, they always win, went from 1 million a year ago to 11 million, and part of that is this Better X, Let It Ride dude who kicked ass at the World Series. this last year, and then had the Eagles for big money. I mean, last year he totally affected the win because he cashed in big time, and this year he actually, well, he lost $3.8 million, so obviously that 3.8 goes right into that $11 million profit for Nevada Sportsbooks. Controversy, I don't know why you and I can sit here and argue about it. The National Anthem prop, and this goes back to Adam's point on social media a couple of weeks ago, a couple of jabronis want to argue with him about, you know, why it's important that the public understands where you can bet, where you can't bet, what you can bet, what you can't bet. We can't do the National Anthem until we come up with some hard and fast rules. And Gladys Knight did it. Your read was terrible, by the way. You said age. You know what's funny? The SO said the same thing. Age, she wouldn't be able to belt it out. And I told you, Gladys Knight will be fine belting it out. And we had the double brave controversy again.
Well, first of all, I think my read was wrong and her read was wrong, but for different reasons. Like, age did play a factor.
Oh, stop.
I think she took longer breaks in between each line.
So what?
No.
That would be any singer.
No, I think it was because...
What, do we have to compare to freaking...
No, I think the cardio...
21-year-old Celine Dion, she's got to sing like Adam Lambert.
No, but I thought my read was the reduced cardio would make her not be able to hold the notes. Instead...
Oh, she held them.
Instead, the cardio made her... She didn't hold the notes, but she took longer breaks in between each line to gather
her
breath.
You need to listen to it again. She held the notes, but she did take breaths. She's essentially a Belichick of singers. As you get older, you learn how to master it. Some don't. She still has an awesome voice. And the end of the song, boy, I'm tracking it. I was so fired up. I'm tracking it, and there were a couple different points. I'm like, slow down, slow down.
Yeah. Well, she was way under.
And then the end of the song was amazing. I think in total here, this is about 22 seconds to get to the end of the second Brave, which when I timed it, I had like 2 minutes and like half a second. Yeah, but she was at like 135 going down the stretch with an over-under somewhere between 146. Or some people actually had a bet under 155 because the number just kept going up and up and up. But listen to the end. And the home didn't hear that part watching it. That's actually a clean feed.
Yeah.
Because when the Jets went over, that's the other problem you mentioned. It's hard to gauge the time because the Jets go over, you can barely hear.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear the Jets there. You heard her at the end. Incredible rendition. But, and I tweeted this out probably an hour before the game. I'm like, make sure if you're betting this offshore, they're clear about when the song ends. Is it the first Brave or is it when the singer ends? Controversy.
Yeah, and, you know, people forget these things, but this was an issue before because Lady Gaga did the same thing. And it was ruled that, and again, ruled is...
At some books,
right. Because some books that had it before then learn. We've talked about this with the Westgate guys. You learn as the process goes on. Every year, you're like, okay, we got to make this adjustment. We have to make this adjustment. We have to change this rule. Lady Gaga did it before, and they made the ruling that when you say Brave, that's the end of the song, because Brave is the last word of the song.
When you're done with the first Brave.
Right. Now, if you add on, you know, whatever you want to add. Now, again, you could say it's when she's done singing. Well, what if she decides to make a speech after? Is that still part of it?
Does she sing the speech?
Perhaps, but I mean, if you're saying when she's done, that could be when she's done.
Yeah.
What if...
I think that's what it should be. It's clear. Whatever the singer's rendition is the rendition, and that should be official.
Well, what if we've had it before, not on a major level, but on smaller anthems, and you never know what's going to happen, where a singer will forget the words halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe walk off. Maybe have somebody come out. Remember, it happened. Somebody came out and helped. That was like a six-minute anthem. Does that count? Because they stopped, they walked off, they were walked back on stage, and then finished the song.
He's the rules are for a reason.
So
he's thinking it through.
This is why these things aren't allowed. Now, somebody said, you're just an old grumpy man who doesn't want new things. No. I'm all fine with
you
opening
want rules
these things.
To be defined so rules that we don't have controversy.
They have to be defined. Now I've talked about it before. We play a game. We do a Super Bowl party where we're all making props all throughout the game. Like literally every play, every commercial, everything that happens. You know, we're betting a shot when they come back from commercial. Is it the outside Atlanta shot? Is it the inside the dome shot? Is it a picture? You know, is it a focus on Goff? Is it a focus on Brady? Anything that happens, we bet on. And I do. I'm like, no, you have to make it more defined. Make it more defined because you have to know what it is. You
totally
don't want to argue.
It.
Yeah, you don't want to argue. I think I save
well,
it.
You do.
I think I save it. What's the point of arguing about who was correct and who was incorrect if there's vague rules?
So
that sounds stupid.
Is this? Does this bother you, Fergie's?
Over.
Let's play some basketball.
Yeah, but I don't.
Let's play some basketball. Counts.
I didn't.
That count?
She didn't sing
according
it.
According to Steve's rules.
No, she didn't sing it.
It's until she's done.
Adam, you're being ridiculous. She didn't sing. Let's play some basketball.
Okay, but it's.
And
it's
some would argue she didn't sing Brave. Some might argue. Sure. See, the problem with yours. With your assertion that it should be the first Brave, then we could start getting into the song and being like, well, that run was ridiculous. The fact that she extended it out, I don't like that. That's not the way you're supposed to sing the song.
Of course, that's why you have to have a defined rule.
Right.
So
when the song ends.
Okay, is the music or the vocals?
The vocals.
The track goes a certain length of time.
The vocals.
So if you say the song, that includes the music.
This is all a great argument. Sportsbooks are going to make the rule eventually so that it makes sense. Big Five is on the way.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company, right here on ESPN Las Vegas.